Hey friends, welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we help you live in the flow of blessing. I'm Brooklyn.
And I'm Hunter. And joining us again today is Dr. Kurt Price from Arlington Family Chiropractic. He joined us last week to talk about being intentional about creating a Christian culture in your company. But he's joining us again today to have another conversation. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Kurt.
Glad to be back, Hunter.
Well, today I want to tackle a little bit different question. Last time we talked about, you know, creating a Christian atmosphere in your business, but it kind of morphed into a lot more than that about, you know, it starts with you and you have to have that relationship with God and then you have to bring that into your business and it'll help, you know, you to be blessed, but it also brings peace. And there's just so many different reasons why you would want to have a Christian atmosphere and just basically putting God back in your business.
Right.
But now let's talk about how that looks in a practical standpoint about balancing this blessed business that you have and your life and your family. And you've got, you know, if, you know, most people that are listening to this probably are involved in church. How do you find the balance in all that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think all of us ask us that. There's some stat at some point. First of all, you know, I tell everybody, right on the door is God Family Chiropractic.
Right.
I joke, that's not for you, that's for me.
Right.
So I keep that that balance, you say. You know, it's putting God first, your family second, and then chiropractic third, or whatever it is to you, whatever your calling is. That just happens to be mine. Balance is something we're all wrestling with.
I'm not good at juggling, for the record here. So I drop all the balls when I try.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't think there is such a thing as balance. I think you have to make it.
Right.
You have to consciously work at it. And it's not something like, oh, I got balance. And I think for some of us, it's a mistake we make.
Yeah.
We go, all right, I got this time, and balance. All right, I'm good. And then you move on. And that's like the kiss of death, because you constantly have to be working at it every day. So for me, I have my work time and I have my my home time. My wife does know this is my calling. So there are moments where that calling will interfere with your family life. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be chosen and timed
right.
Properly. And sometimes you have to say no. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say no. And that's, I think that's a big key to balance. You can't say yes to everything.
Right.
You've got to learn to say no. And then for some of you out there, my wife struggles with that, to be honest. And yep. She's just got this giving, loving heart. And she'll be pulled in 50 million directions. And I tell her, you know, at some point you're going to have to say no.
Right.
And her mother was the same way. So well,
I know for me, I struggle with that a lot. But because, and I'm curious your thought on this, this is a quick little aside, but I think for me, that stemmed from desiring, and a sense, I derive my sense of identity from the approval of other people. And I felt if I said no, that I was going to either hurt somebody or I'd be a lesser of a person because of it in their eyes.
Right.
Yeah. And ultimately that's wrong, because our identity comes from God and our priorities, and people respect you more for it, but it's so hard to get there.
Yeah. On our last podcast, I think we hit this, you know, you can please people, or you can please God.
Right.
Which exactly. Is it going to be? It can't be both.
Right.
And so, yeah, it gets back to that. I mean, you can serve people,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's a difference between serving them and pleasing them, and it's a play on words. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to chase God. And so finding that balance, you've got to be constantly working, striving to get to that point. And and there's nothing wrong with having, you know, God's first. Like for me, mm-hmm. This is the first thing I start my day with. It's the last thing I end my day with. I try to find the middle of the day, you know, and some people are like, whoa, you know, that didn't happen overnight. I don't want you to think I'm like running around with my Bible in my hand going everywhere I go. I mean, do I bring my Bible? Yeah, you know, it is in my truck, but it's that small popcorn prayer type thing, you know, and finding that moment, you know, thanking God, constantly being in that.
Prayer without ceasing doesn't mean that you just pray without ever taking a breath. It's a matter of you live a life of prayer.
Yeah.
And where you've got God in the middle of it.
Absolutely. And it's not happen, you know, it's not, every day doesn't look like that, but I'd like to start my day with God. I like to end my day with God, whatever that looks like. And then I try to find something in the middle, and then that, and those are my wife's, my wife gave me that, the popcorn prayer thing. So, yeah. And then there's nothing wrong with having you time. So that's another big thing too. A lot of, a lot of business owners, they feel guilty about saying, you know what? I need time for me. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs that.
Been there.
Decompression. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody needs that. Like, for some guys, you know, driving home at night, you know, whatever that might be, they need 10, 15 minutes themselves before they get bombarded by the family and all that has to be done at home and this and that. And there's many different ways, which some people will agree with and some people won't.
My wife did that, by the way. She would go to work, come home, and I would, like, I'd already be home, and I'd look out, and I would see her in the driveway, and I'd be like, why isn't she coming in? Because, you know, I'm like Mr. Bubbly personality, and I'm like running, like, hey, honey, I'm home, you know? Yeah. And she's like, let me decompress. So she sits out there for 15 minutes just like, you know, meditating or something, looking at her phone, talking to somebody, and she comes in, she's good.
Right.
But... So I guess the more people, I thought, you know, that I always was just like ready to like engage or whatever, but I found that in other ways, but I see what you're talking about, because now that I understand it, it's like, okay, she's having her time.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. And we all have to have that.
So I think it's finding the balance of, oh, you know what? I'm driving home for 15 minutes. Use it. Mm. Turn the radio off. Just listen, talk to God, be in quiet. Mm. Be in silence. Be, you know, be still and know that I am God. So that's one of my big ones. So when I get home, I had 15 minutes of that silence, and I'm there. Or I might listen to a great podcast or preacher, or, you know, whatever it is. That's what I do personally. Mm-hmm. So it's finding what works for you. And on that note, man, we spend so much time in our car. I would encourage everybody, do you know how many books you can do? Like, especially with Bluetooth.
Audiobooks.
Yeah.
And all that.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Man, you can.
Or podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts.
We're going to advocate for podcasts right here.
We are.
Unashamed plug right here.
There you go. You got 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. By the end of the week, you'd be amazed what you could accomplish. You know, that book you've always wanted to read, the podcast you always wanted to get to, and that your favorite person you want to listen to. It works out. It's unbelievable. And then, so when I hit the ground running, when I get home with the kids, it's awesome. So, yeah, I have two kids, a 10-year-old boy and a 6-year-old little girl. And when I get home, it's awesome. And then on top of that, you get the dog tackling you.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So I have a hunting dog that he's so smart. And then I think... You know, as far as like, you don't want to give your family leftovers, that squeezed lemon.
And it's so tempting to do that.
It is. We all struggle with it. So everybody out there listening, probably, yep, that's me. You got to find that balance of just being present time consciousness, being consciously aware.
Wait, I want to say that again. You said present time consciousness.
Yeah, present time consciousness, being where you're at right in that moment, 100%. There. Don't be 50% here while you're having this conversation and the other half of my brain's on, I've got to do these errands and oh yeah, I didn't finish that paper at work and I need to make those phone calls and this and that. Just be 100% aware of where you're at, what you're doing.
Well, and that's a huge struggle for me. And I've gotten better. I know for me, for when I first started, I didn't have an office. I work from home. I have a, you know, marketing and web design business. So I can work from anywhere. So, and I tell people all the time, someone asked me last night, she's like, so how is it owning your own business? And I said, well, you know, it's great. There's pros and cons. I said, the beauty of it is I can get on a plane and fly to Cancun, and I can, you know, as long as I've got internet connection, a laptop and a phone, I can work. So I can work from anywhere. I said, the biggest problem in my business is, I can work from anywhere. They kind of looked at me and I was like, it never leaves you. And the thing is, there's a total total difference when you go from being employee to employer, because like you feel the weight of it. It's like the difference between like a kid that has a dirty diaper that you're just like holding in church or something. You're out with friends and they're like, here, oh yeah, I want to cuddle it. And then like when something bad goes, you're like, oh, there's your baby back, you know. Well, when it's your baby, you have to deal with it and you feel the pressure of that.
Right.
And so I know as an entrepreneur, it's really easy to see what and push on that. And like you said, just have leftovers. But the reality is, and maybe you can speak to this, we touched on this some in our last episode, but we're a whole person. So every aspect of our life is affected by other aspects of our life. And so if your family life, if you neglect them, eventually that's going to have a negative impact on your business. You're going to become stressed because there's stress at home. There's going to be, you know, issues. And then you're more worried about your business because it's not doing well because you're not well.
Right.
And so the best thing you can do for your business sometimes or is just have a good life and take time away.
Yeah.
Even Jesus did that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He went away and did the same. Just he needed to decompress too, you know,
right,
with his father. So I'm totally with you on that. And there's something that hit me as we're talking about this. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just important to know like your wife's or your husband's love languages as it is your kids. Your kids have the same thing. So like,
that's good.
Both my kids are different. You know, one is, you know, very cuddly in that touch and just in another, it's just all about time. And so I try to make sure I balance that out and, you know, give them 20 minutes of undivided attention. And it may not be 20 minutes. I'm just throwing that out
right.
You know, like I try to spend that undivided attention with them, meaning like no cell phone, things like that. And we all struggle with that, you know? And so I have to consciously be aware, put it down. And I'm going to be honest, that is a huge, huge time stealer. Cell phones, social media, all that stuff. People get on there, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I'm going to tell you that 100%. Yeah. And it's a choice.
Right.
And most people think, what? How are you not on social media and stuff? You know, and it's a choice. If I'm going to be God, family, chiropractic, I had to say no to some things. And that was mm-hmm. one of the things I said no to. And the whole everybody's on there scrolling and looking through and this and that. If you would take all that time from social media and give it to your wife or your husband or your kids, you'd be shocked how much time you have.
Absolutely.
And the other thing, here's another one. Now I'm getting off on a tangent. The whole looking through there and seeing, oh, they're in Mexico or they're in this and that.
They just got
a
new car.
Yeah, you know, it's not real.
No. Well, there's very few people that put the negative side on social media. And if they do, they try to spin it in a positive light,
yeah,
you know, or to be funny or to get likes or whatever. And I went on that journey too. I was a little obsessed with social media when it first came out. And then I just kind of woke up one day and I was like, wait a second. I struggle to get my Bible reading and prayer done, but I can spend 3 hours. Like you can go to your battery usage in your iPhone and it shows like which app used more percentage of your battery, basically which one are you using the most. And I looked at it and I was like, whoa, that's like, you can look at someone's phone and it tells them a whole lot about their priorities. And, you know, and I love what you said about when you chose God, family, and chiropractic, you had to say no to some things. And we hate that because we want to, you know, make people happy, or we want to indulge ourselves, or there's any number of reasons, some good, some bad, some, you know, neither way. But you have a finite amount of time in this world, in this mm-hmm. life. And so how you use it, it's about being a good steward of it. And when you're, you know, in business, whether you're an entrepreneur and a business owner, or even just working a job, you have to find that balance, because if you don't, I'd say it this way. If you don't own your business will own you.
Oh, yeah.
And how many people do we know like that?
Yeah.
And and my question is, and we're talking about, you know, blessed business and Christians and, you know, even if you're not religious, I mean, who wants to live a stressed out life?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can change your world. And I'm not talking about, which, I mean, there are people, we talk about people who's changed, you know, Thomas Edison, he, you know, put the light bulb and, you know, and the electricity. And there's different ones that maybe made big impacts on society. But I'm talking about your personal world. There's a book called Ordering Your Private World. I forget the author. And there's another one, Crazy Busy. Both of those are really, really good books. And I apologize to the authors. I struggle with remembering authors' names. But I loved your book. But what it does is it talks about finding that. And really, I love what you said early on. We keep saying the word finding balance. It's not about finding it, because if you look for it, you won't find it. You have to create it. And that's and I know I'm just playing with words here, because, you know, that is part of finding balance. But
right.
It's more of an action word. It's kind of like faith. Faith is different than belief. Belief is saying, yeah, I could see that. You know, I understand that. Whereas it's nodding your head. Whereas faith is belief in action. You're going to do something with it, you know? And not just saying, I am a Christian. It's living the life of being a Christian, being that living witness. And it's kind of like with this, is you can say, oh, yeah, I'm a father, or yeah, I'm a husband, or yeah, I'm a business owner. But if you don't live those out, you know, you're not 25% father, 25% husband, and 50% business owner, and 25% Christian. No, you're all of those things all of the time. So right. You have to create a balance between them.
Right. That's good. I like it.
Now, you were telling me something about hobbies. So, yes, you don't have social media, but you have hunting. And some people may say, oh, there's the culprit. So he spends all of his time hunting. But tell me a little bit. You were telling me a little bit before we got started of how that helps you find balance, actually.
Yeah. For me, I find God in a deer stand every single time I go. And it's just, it's awesome. It's being out in God's creation and nature. And mm-hmm. My wife knows that's one of the ways I decompress. And
the stillness and the quiet.
Yeah, to be still and know that I'm God. And just being able to talk to God. And I don't mean, please bring me a giant Boone and Crockett. Although that probably happens.
Yes.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
It's just being in that silence and just turning off, decompressing from the whole world and just everything, and just getting in touch with nature and God. And it's just, I'm telling you, every time I go, it's like I'm sitting in, no matter where I'm sitting in a double stand with God and Jesus.
Right.
So I love it. And yeah. I need it. I love it. I crave it. And yeah, it just happens to be a hobby as well. So whether I'm an avid hunter of everything, you know, whether it be ducks or deer or, you know, turkeys or whatever it is that I'm doing, it doesn't matter whether I get the harvest or not. It's being out there enjoying God's creation, having time to talk to Him and be with Him. And man, I've had so many great ideas and just epiphanies sitting there and just, you know.
Just having that alone time.
Yeah. So, and not only that, you know, on a side note, providing for your family and doing all those other things. So it is serving a purpose. And,
right, right.
And so, yeah. And then it's a way to, I'm an avid father of getting my kids and other kids out in the outdoors and mm-hmm. In this day of technology and
right.
Video games and computers and all this stuff.
Why play Big Game Hunter, you know, 7 when, or whatever it is, when you can go outside and hunt the big buck?
That's it. That's it. I love it. So I'm always trying to get my kids to go out there with me, and they do, and telling other kids and, you know, trying to be that example. I don't have a problem with video games or any of that stuff.
No,
I think
it's
great.
Yeah.
But I think, again, balance, like we're talking about.
Right. And it's hard for kids sometimes to do that. So as a parent, which I'm not a parent, and so it's probably easier for me to speak to this, but sometimes you have to give your kids balance. And I think of Psalms 23 about where, you know, God's saying, you know, I'll lead you into, you know, green pastures and beside still waters and all that. So God is our Father, and He directs us. So it's okay to do that. Now, with your spouse, I think, so if your spouse is an entrepreneur or a business owner or vice versa, it's, you have to allow them that space and help them find that as well, or help them create that. I think of, you know, what we were talking about earlier is, you know, I looked out there, at first I thought my wife was ignoring me. I'm like, does she just not like want to come in and, like, you know, be like, hey, honey, I'm home. And it's like, well, does she not want to be with me? And like, what's the problem? You know, so I start thinking all these things. And then until I had revelation that, oh, wow, that's just her alone time. That's cool. She needs that. Our life's much better when she has that. I have mine in other ways, like you said, hunting right. or whatever else. And I like going hiking and backpacking. And so, or as my wife says, I like collecting the gear more than anything. So my private alone time is like shopping for yeah. hunting or camping gear that I may or may not
use. You look good doing it, right?
That's exactly right. And but anyway, but I think the big thing is allowing other people, especially when it comes to your spouse or kids or whoever in your family, to have that. I think that's important.
Yeah. And another thing, just to add to that, as far as hobbies go, those can get completely out of bounds too.
Yes.
So there's got to be conversations of, you know, when and this and that. And I happen to choose hobbies that, you know, I can get up super early in the morning and I'm back before, right. you know, everybody gets up or just got up, you know, things like that. You know, you gotta balance that as well. So
that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about how, all right, so let's, because this is the Blessed Business Podcast, so tell me a little bit about how you can encourage that in your business. So not just your work-life balance, but, and I know we live in an interesting world where, like, you know, 50 years ago, you'd have never heard of this, but I know some of the new techie companies and all that, they offer unlimited, you know, personal time and all. I think there's balance in that as well, but what is a way that you can create a culture where, because if all your employees and everyone is out of balance too, that's not healthy too. So, but at the same time, and this alludes to our previous conversation, sometimes as a business owner, if you can want to drive to push profit, because if you aren't making me money, what are you doing here? Which I know we both view that differently, and hopefully people listening to this view it differently.
Right.
Not just a, you know, it's not so many units of production. You care about the person behind it too.
Right.
But, so how do you encourage that in other people around you? And that, I mean, this is just a discussion. I don't know if we've both arrived there, but what are some ways that could be done?
That's a fantastic question. I think by just, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think leading your staff.
Be that example.
Yeah, be the example. Be the teacher. You got to be ready. We talked about on a podcast before about, I called it my hour of power, where, you know, I'm ready when the keys go in the door. I'm prayed up, armor's on. I'm ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
Shields up, right?
Yeah. So, I think being that example, and listen, again, nobody is perfect.
Right.
We all make mistakes. Thank God our God's a forgiving God. Okay. Exactly. I'll just go ahead and say that on the record right now. And, you know, if you're doing the best you know how, and you're trying, you know, it's the old saying, God's looking for those people that have a heart for trying, if you will. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could be butchering that, and there might be a better word for that, but, you know, the heart is where it's at. And so I know my heart, I'm always striving to get a closer relationship with Jesus. And as we do that, we set the tone and we make it easier for everyone around us to hold themselves to a better standard, you know, if you will. Mm-hmm. We allow our light to shine, so it inadvertently allows everyone else to go, you know what? I need to step up.
Right.
I need to be that wife or that husband or that father or whatever it is that I, you know, I need to be the best me possible.
Right. Well, and again, we alluded to that. If you haven't heard our last podcast, you have to listen, because it kind of said some of the stuff. We keep referencing it. But the thing is, and we talked, and you were, this is what you're just talking about, is you have to bring that with you to the office. And so you have to create that, and you have to lead that. As, you know, we're both men. So as we lead our home, as we lead our business, as we lead in church, wherever we're at, however we're leading, we need to lead by that example, just right. like God did. And so if we can't do that, then anything we try to say to people, anything we try to encourage people, it's not going to mean anything.
Right.
And the reality is, people can feel the difference. Sometimes they don't see the difference. It's kind of like being a Christian. So, you know, sometimes, you know, people feel it more than they see it or hear it. And over time, they get that. So there's like a whole, like your spirit has to resonate that. Is that
yeah,
weird?
No. I'll give you another, like be, do, have. If you just be who you're supposed to be and a little bit of do what you're supposed to do, you'll have what you're supposed to have. And,
that's good. Yeah. Say that again.
Be, do, have. Like if you be who you're supposed to be and with a little bit of do what you're supposed to do, you'll have what you're supposed to have.
That's awesome.
And I think people get that backwards.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm guilty. I've been there.
I will be who I'm supposed to be once I
once I
do this, I'll have it, so then I'll be it, you know? Yeah. And no, you need to be that person from the beginning or from the start. And that goes back to like our balance in social media and this and that, and seeing that as people, you know, scrolling down and wow, they have the cars and the boats and the vacationing and look at their beautiful kids and awesome marriage. And deep down, you have no idea that, you know, it could be totally opposite. And, you know, the Bible teaches us not to covet those things and to be content. And, you know, it's not real. It's not real. It's like this facade. So it's about having content and being happy right where you're at and doing what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'm going to go back to what we talked about very, very, very early on. Is what you're talking about is it's about perspective. You have to have perspective. You have to have it inside who you are. And it also comes from your identity. You have to have clarity in your identity. If you don't, then you're going to be focused on, I'm a business owner, I'm a business owner, I'm a business owner. If you don't wake up and realize, oh, I also have a family, I also have, you know, this responsibility and that. If you don't identify that, and a lot of people, it'd probably be a good exercise, just put it down on paper and say, this is my priorities, this is who I am, and then write out, I think it'd be a good exercise, and I'm just coming up with this on the fly, so not the voice of expertise, but just the voice of inspiration. If you sit down with a legal pad and you wrote down everything that you do, and like how much time you spent on social media, on pursuits, on other things, and you wrote down all those things and then wrote down who you are. You are a father. You are a business owner. You are a husband. You are a Christian. You are a leader in your church. You are whatever. And I guarantee you that list is probably shorter. And then you look at all these different things and then say, what can I say no to that would not negatively impact my life, but would increase and do better? I would be able to be better at who I am. If you did that, I think that would probably be a wake-up call. I know one time we did a leadership training for our church, because me and my wife are in leadership at our church in youth leadership, and they had this person come in, and he said, okay, write down. And it was kind of similar to this. He wrote down everything on sticky notes that the church does. And he had us, and so all these different people, all the different leaders of the church, wrote down all the different things that the church does and was supposed to do, and just all these different things. So we just sticky notes and sticky notes and sticky notes, but not talking to each other. Well, we wrote down what we thought, and then he said, now go stick it on the wall, and he gave like four different categories, like serving others or discipleship, office administration type things, or, you know, these different categories. So what we do, you know, who we are a disciple of other people. And he said, all right, so put all these sticky notes in all these different categories. And it was so neat to see which categories had very few things, which categories had very many things. And the reality is we couldn't deny it because we all came up with it independently. And there was enough people that it was like, okay, statistically speaking, we spend way too much time doing X when really who we are is doing this. And so how can we, you know, focus our time, our energy, and our efforts more, a lot better? You know, it's like, it's great to do a candy rain, but we're out to reach people. If doing a candy rain gets in front of, you know, doing something more productive for the kingdom of God, should we do that? And right. I think the same thing is fair in business or personal life. If it's getting in the way of being who you need to be, you need to seriously look at if you can cut it out of your life.
Right. Yeah, the whole be, do, have, you know. Well, if you're, all right, I'm going to be this business owner and a father and husband and whatever. And then I'll be this warrior for Christ. Well, it's backwards. What you need to do is be a warrior and a disciple for Christ.
Quit looking
first
in the mirror.
and then, you know, be that person. And right. Then, oh yeah, now I'm with that. I'm that and said, I'm going to be a good father and this and that. And then everything falls into place and it's easy.
Well, I just thought of an analogy. So you want to already be there before you, you know, deal with the situation. So it'd be like driving down the road backwards and looking in the rearview mirror, trying to, because what's behind you is something, it's safe. You know it. It's already there. You know, you've already accomplished that. But you can't drive looking in the rearview mirror. Oh,
that, boy, that's a lesson right there. You just said it. Like, you know, life is a lot like that. Mm-hmm. You can't drive your car looking in the rearview mirror. You can't forget the past. Let it go.
Yeah.
Move on. Listen, I could sit and tell you this, and I need to take my own advice. So we're all guilty of it. You've got to, again, our God, thank God for the cross, you know?
Right.
Thank God for the blood, because that's, we're all naturally, we're sinners. And because of that, grace,
absolutely,
mercy. And you got to keep looking forward. Forgiveness. I mean, that's a big one, you know? Forgive and move on.
Mm. Well, and not just forgiveness. The Bible says you'll be forgiven as you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. But really what that's speaking to, and going back to the principles here, we love talking about principles, is about grace. We have to give grace to others, but we also have to be willing to accept grace for ourselves. Both from God, because the Bible says if you don't believe that I'm He and I can save you from sin, you're not going to be saved. So you have to believe, because that's faith. Mm-hmm. If you don't have faith in God, then you know you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Where in the same thing is if you don't put that in action, then what can you do? So if you say, well, you know, I can't do that. If you become subject to all these external forces, that's an external locus of control. And then it's very easy to become the victim when, oh, honey, I couldn't come home today because someone scheduled a meeting. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're the business owner. You're the boss. You set that schedule. You know, you can say no to that meeting. And then you take ownership for that and say, you know what? I can change my world and order my private world such that I can be who I need to be, not just do all the things that everyone asked me to do.
Right.
That's and good. Accept grace in that process and give it and receive it.
Good stuff, man.
Man, I love this. We're going to have some more conversations down the road, but I really appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Kurt is such a good man. You know, I think it's amazing how he was able to share such real personal examples with us today. One thing that really resonated with me was when he was talking about how important it is to take personal time and alone time. You know, we can look back in scripture and find how that was important even to God. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." You know, he just spent 6 full days creating the heavens and the earth and all the beauty within. And he then realized it was important to step back and rest from all his work. And I think it's important for us to remember that, because we live in a driven society where we constantly have to accomplish more. We have so much on our to-do list each day. And I think there comes a point where our bucket becomes empty, so to speak, because we give and we give. We give at work. We give with our family. We give with our friends. But if we continue to give and we don't take that alone time to rest and refill our tank, at some point, our bucket's going to run out. And we need to take that alone time to refill so we have more to give. And I think that's highly important. I found that important in my own life. I know you alluded to it a little bit in the interview, but I have to have that alone time, because after giving and giving, I want to continue to give, but I need some time to refresh and to refill so then I can give with a good attitude and I don't feel like I'm drained and taking from the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. And I think that's highly important, because we even see how important it is in scripture. We also see in the New Testament in multiple occasions where Jesus was surrounded by the crowds teaching and performing miracles, but he had to take those moments to get away, to get alone and pray and refresh and regroup. And so I think as we're looking at scripture, we always talk about how Christ is the perfect example. Well, he also set the example of resting because he was flesh just like we are. And after giving and giving, he had to take time to rest and recoup. So I think that's very important. If we take time to clear our minds, then when we get to work the next day, we're going to be able to think straight. If we take time for those things that refill our tank, maybe it's a hobby, then after we're refilled, we're going to have more to give out to our family. If we take time to recharge our spirit in prayer and daily devotions, then we're going to have more that we're going to be able to give to those around us when there's someone that may need a word of encouragement or they may need prayer. We have our tank filled, so we have more to give. So I think that's very important to take that alone time. It doesn't have to be a long drawn out, maybe a wasted time during a day, but just those little moments that we can grasp. Maybe it's reading a good book that's going to help us recharge. Like I said a while ago, reading our scripture, praying, just doing something that helps us and helps us to be revived and helps regenerate our spirit, our body, our mind.
Exactly. When we as leaders don't take time to refresh ourselves, we, like you said, I love how you use the analogy of the bucket. It's like people keep dipping out of our bucket. Sometimes we dip out of our bucket and sometimes life dips out of our bucket. But when the bucket's empty, if we don't take time to replenish that, then we aren't effective and there's nothing else to give. And so it's so important to do that very thing and let yourself have the freedom and flexibility to invest in yourself. And so many times as leaders, we feel guilty because it's like, okay, we've got to go, go, go. We've got to give, give, give. We've got to be there. We've got to do it. But the reality is we are doing the people that we're leading and our own lives and our families and everything that we're doing, we're doing them an injustice by not investing in ourselves because we're not giving our best because we're just operating at like, you know, just the bottom or scraping the bottom of that bucket all the time. And you'll burn out. You'll be completely empty. And the reality is, though, it's difficult for me, I know, to do that. And what's part of what makes that difficult is saying no to the right things. Saying no is almost like a dirty word for me sometimes because I want to, like he referenced in the interview, I always have been wanting to please people. But sometimes it's not about pleasing people, it's about serving people. When you serve people, sometimes to serve them properly, you have to say no. I know recently there was something that even at church that I do a lot of times for many different years, it was like a little video to put together or something like that. And they asked me, hey, do you think you have time to do that again this year? And the reality is I didn't. And so many times I'll say yes to projects because it's a good cause and I want to do it and different things like that. But if I would have said yes to that, I would have said no, been saying no to so many things that I needed to do. And I would have done a terrible job at it. I would just throw it together. I'd have been stressed. It would have been, so it really wasn't serving them, even though if it may have been the pleasing answer to give them a yes right then, but no was the best answer to serve them with because I didn't really have any more out of the bucket for that particular moment. Because there's other things that are a priority. And so learning to say no is one of the most challenging things in my life. And I know we've talked about this even in our personal life as a married couple, learning to say no to things, whether because there's so many good causes. There's business opportunities, there's ministry opportunities, there's life opportunities, there's things that we want to do and accomplish and places we want to go. But at some point, you have to say, enough is enough. I have to stop and take time for myself. I have to stop and take time and prioritize the right things. And so saying no sometimes is really saying yes to the right things.
That's so true. You know, it's a small word, but it has so much power. So if we will learn how to use it properly, our lives will benefit from it. So you may be saying no to going out with friends, or you may be saying no to a volunteer opportunity. And inside you may feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. But by saying no and taking time to do what's important right now in this moment, and maybe that's spending your alone time recharging, then that means going forward in the future, you're going to have more to give to that cause maybe, or have more to give to those friends, to those relationships. And so, yes, it is a powerful word, though it is very small, but if we use it properly, it can be a very beneficial word to use in our lives.
Well, and it's a positive, not always a negative. I always viewed it in the past as a negative sense. No is a negative word. But like I mentioned earlier, it's not about saying no to everyone. It's about saying yes to the right things. And so that's what gives you, when you say no to the wrong things, it gives you that power to say yes to the right things. And reality is, when you create that balance in your life, then what he talked about in the interview today about being 100% present in the moment at hand, that is such a powerful thing. People know when you're present right now, instead of just giving your family or your church or your business, your employees, or you know, whatever it is, the leftovers of what's left after you've emptied that bucket up because you said yes, 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 yes. Well, by saying no, it gives you the ability to have a little bit of reserve so that when you are in a moment, you can be 100% present. And I just to be frank, I am really guilty of getting to the point where I'm not present. And so being intentional about that is critical. And I was challenged today to be more intentional about that in my own life.
What are some ways that we can be intentional about being present?
Well, first off, our cell phones. And he mentioned this a little bit in the interview, but being able to put the cell phone aside and turn the notifications off, or like I challenged myself the other day, we're going to start trying this. If when we go on a date, I may just leave my phone at home, because the temptation is so real for me as a business owner to take that phone call, to answer that email, to check that alert. But the reality is, if I can set that aside, I'm much more present in the moment. And that's something that, while challenging to me, is a good thing. And I think it'll help me make progress.
So when I think about being present in the moment, I think about whether we're dealing with a leader on our job, we're dealing with our clients, we're dealing with our team members, we're dealing with our spouses, maybe your children, whoever it is that you're sitting, interacting with, having a conversation with, if you can be fully 100% focused, and that means like looking the person in the eyes and not looking down at the screen, whether it's your computer, like you said, your cell phone, anything. I think just eye contact and really listening to what they're saying. You know, you can even look at someone in the eyes and be daydreaming, thinking about, you know, the email that you need to get to. But if yes, we take time to look in the eyes and really hear what they're saying, and give feedback to what they're saying, not just avoid it and brush it off like, yeah, I heard you. But we're intentional about our conversations. I think that goes a long way. And so maybe in those moments when we are busy, we've got a lot going on in life, if we take time to be intentional about our conversations, even if it's just a few minutes, if we're fully 100% focused, those few minutes are going to go a long way, way more than spending an hour without being focused. And so I think that's very important.
Well, that's true. And almost every one of us, probably everyone, can point back to a time when you had a conversation with someone. And I've experienced this at church or at business functions or different places where you're talking to someone, and I've done this, I've been guilty of this myself, where you're kind of looking around, you're not making eye contact, like you said, and you're looking for the next person who you really want to talk to, or you're just more focused on what's going on around you than the person you're talking to. And that really kind of rubs you the wrong way if you're on the receiving end of that, because it's like, I'm not valuable to this person. If you're on a date with your spouse, or you're, you know, on a business lunch, or there's any type of interaction with other people where you're sitting there, but you're constantly staring at your cell phone and checking emails and everything like that, it's pretty obvious to everyone around you. You're so busy and focused. Okay, yeah, jump in and jump out of the conversation, but they realize you're just not present at all.
One thing to think about is there are those days when the schedule is really full. You have back-to-back appointments. In the middle of those appointments, you have that lunch meeting scheduled, maybe your team members, maybe a friend, your family, and you're wondering, how do I maximize that quality time? Well, maybe you need to set the expectations ahead of time. Just let them know, whenever I leave here at this particular time, I do have a meeting to go to. And while you're with them, you've already set the expectation of, I have somewhere to be after, but be fully present in that meeting. And then when you have to leave, you've already spent your quality time, you've been focused, you've been invested in the time that you were with them. And I think that's going to go a long ways.
I'd really agree with you that is so important, but very difficult to create in our lives.
I want to challenge all of our listeners today to take some of those action steps that Dr. Kurt has discussed today, apply those to your life. Try to be present and try saying that word no and just see how liberating it is in your life. Remember to use it carefully and at the right times so that when you use it, you're actually saying yes to the most important things in life. Well, I think that wraps it up for today. Remember, you can find us at our website, theblessedbusiness.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at The Blessed Business. Go give us a follow, share us with your friends like always, and we'll be back with you next time.